AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you, Matt Patrick, here today. I want to first start off, if I can, basically, I wanted to start off here with the story that finally someone else decided to cover the fact that the communications director for the Minnesota GOP, Jack Tomczak, had a Hennepin County judge granted a temporary restraining order against him on behalf of his wife, Corrine Martin, ruling that there is reasonable grounds to believe he harassed her. According to a Minnesota Reformer, she submitted said papers on June 21st. Finally, city pages. They basically started, they decided to cover this. And yeah, okay. No one else has. And okay, my problem, I'm not here trying to destroy Jack per se. I mean, it's not my job to try to ruin this guy's career. I mean, and plus the fact that he's in trouble. I will say my job, the reason I'm bringing this up is twofold. One, the Minnesota GOP are a bunch of freaking hypocrites. And whenever something bad happens with a Democrat, they demand everyone who ever met this guy needs to resign and apologize in triplicate to every Republican ever. I mean, that's their moderate stance when it comes to outrage within the Republican Party. The other part of this, though, is the Star Tribune. The Star Tribune, who gave credence to all those ugly, false rumors about Ilhan Omar, and actually ran stories, prominent stories in the paper, giving those ugly rumors, you know, space on their pages. The same newspaper who went to court to open up Keith Ellison's divorce records because we only want the truth. The public has a right to know. Well, does the public have a right to know that Keith Ellison's, you know, ex-wife had some mental issues that was, you know, that Keith Ellison was trying to keep quiet? Because I noticed this, Star Tribune, you didn't apologize at all for making everyone apparently needed to know this. You know, you just kindly shrugged your shoulders while the far-right news outlet that goaded you guys into going along with that laughed and laughed and laughed because you gave them legitimacy. So you guys have gone out of your way when Democrats have personal issues to basically make it top of the fold, front page, top of the page, big headline. And yet here we are, yet again with a Republican basically being called out for the same exact behavior, and your cowardice newspaper hasn't even covered it, Star Tribune. Most of the news media hasn't covered it in this town at all. And outside of the Minnesota Reformer and City Pages, that's pretty much it. See, that's why I'm bringing this up. It's not necessarily because I've got to basically, town square Jack Tomczak. No. It's the fact that the Republicans are hypocrites and the Star Tribune are massive hypocrites with a biased, one-sided, if a Democrat does anything, not only is it top of the page, but it's 3 weeks of, hey, we went and put microphones in front of every Democrat we could find and got them to either condemn them or condone them. What is it? Do you agree with this? And here it is once again, a Republican doing something bad, and it's like, well, Matt, come on, is that really news? I don't know. Since it's your standards, yes, I guess it is. I'm just holding you to your standard, Star Tribune. We're watching. And you wonder why your subscription rate is down. We're watching. I'll wait. I guess you're just saving that front page in case there's a Democratic scandal you can run with. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay, so we're going to start off the show. Do we have the Daniel Dale stuff? Okay. This is... Patrick, did you watch any of the Trump speech? No. Patrick is vomiting currently into a waste paper basket. No, apparently not. I caught bits and pieces. Rudy Giuliani came on and was going, ah, for basically 5 minutes. And I said, okay, enough of this. I turned on Ivanka and don't fool yourself. That you can't, do not trust her. She's not the sane one of that family. There is, I don't know if there's Barron, maybe is the sane one of that family. But when it got to Trump, I kind of like 3 minutes of this, and I heard like six lies. And of course, I said to myself, well, no one's going to call him out on the lies. I mean, I was expecting, you know, kind of the whitewashing of Trump as they always do. But then I was surprised when this clip was brilliant, and I'll repost this a little bit later on. This is Anderson Cooper's show on CNN. He's brought Daniel Dale, who is a Washington correspondent. He's brought him in, and Dale, just I'll let it speak for itself. Go ahead.
Daniel, certainly there's a lot to break down from the president's more than hour-long speech.
Anderson, this president is a serial liar, and he serially lied tonight. I counted preliminarily more than 20 false or misleading claims. I want to go through a whole bunch of them quickly because I think it's all important. Trump said Joe Biden is, quote, talking about taking down the border wall. Biden has specifically, explicitly rejected that idea. He just said he'll stop further additional construction. Trump claimed, as always, that he is the one who passed the Veterans Choice Law. Barack Obama signed that into law in 2014. Trump signed a 2018 law to modify it. Trump said, I have done more for the African-American community than any president since Abraham Lincoln. That is ludicrous. Lyndon Johnson, for one, signed the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act. Trump again touted a, quote, record 9 million job gain over the past 3 months. He didn't mention, as usual, that that gain follows a record 22 million job loss over the previous 2 months. He said he'll, quote, continue to lower drug prices. They've increased during his presidency. He said they opened a Jerusalem embassy for less than $500,000. Early documents show it was at least $21 million. He claimed NATO member spending has increased for the first time in about 20 years. Spending, in fact, rose in 2015 and in 2016 before he took office. He said he will always, and Republicans will always, strongly protect people with pre-existing conditions. That pledge has already been broken. He and they have repeatedly tried to weaken those protections in Obamacare. He claimed again that he banned travel from China and Europe. No, he imposed partial restrictions with many exemptions. Tens of thousands of people continued traveling over. He boasted about the COVID testing system and about his general response. Look, experts near universally say the U.S. was fatally slow in its response, especially slow in setting up adequate testing. He said that he ended what he called a NAFTA nightmare, and he signed a brand new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, the USMCA. That agreement preserves, maintains most of NAFTA. He boasted about building about 300 miles of border wall. What he didn't say is that most of that is replacement barrier. As of August 7th, according to official data, just 5 miles had been built where none existed before. He suggested that Joe Biden would confiscate guns. That's baseless. Biden is running on a non-mandatory buyback of so-called assault weapons. He said Democrats want to defund the police. Biden, again, doesn't, has rejected that. He said he has, quote, very good information that China wants Biden to win because Biden is soft on China or cheerleads for China. The U.S. intelligence community says China wants Biden to win because it sees Trump as unpredictable. He said Biden vowed to close down charter schools. Biden's plan is skeptical on charters, but would not abolish them entirely. He denounced Biden for voting for the Iraq War. Biden did indeed vote for the Iraq War, but what Trump doesn't mention is that he also supported that invasion. He said Democrats twice removed the word God from the Pledge of Allegiance at their convention. Two individual caucus meetings outside the main primetime programming did leave it out, but it was uttered in every primetime event. Trump denounced so-called cancel culture as like an insidious left-wing thing. He, Donald J. Trump, has tried to get dozens of people and entities canceled, fired, boycotted, including literally last week, Goodyear. He said he imposed an order to give 10 years in prison to rioters. That's a maximum discretionary sentence up to judges in existing laws. His order just asked the government to fully enforce. And he said that Biden's plan would eliminate America's borders. No, just no. It's wrong.
Oh, that's it?
There's more.
Yeah, I mean, wow.
How much time do you got, Anderson?
And you have to see this video to believe it. Cooper at one point just kind of starts drinking. So, wow, he is going. Daniel Dale on CNN. I counted at least like five lies in the first 20 minutes of him talking. I mean, he's a chronic liar. And I just want to ask all Republicans out there, if he has to lie so much about his record to get you to vote for him, wouldn't that tell you right away that nothing this guy has done is worth keeping him in office for? You're the idiots that are going to vote for him, Republicans. You're the idiots that hear these lies and say, yes, four more. And, you know, I honestly think what would happen is if Trump did win again, that like seconds after he won again, and it's like Republicans were like, I couldn't stand the Democrats. I didn't think he would win again. I mean, Joe Biden was such a bad candidate. He made me vote for Trump again. And, you know, because I think we would all see what was going to be coming down the line. But, I mean, I will say this. You would immediately have Republicans campaigning against him. That they would. Because, you know, there's no way in the world the House is going back to the Republicans. So, Democrats are going to have a hold. And then, basically, it's, you know, at this point, you know, you're going to have a wildly – I mean, the guy, if he actually had a second term, by the time – if he did stick around till 4 years, by the time he got to his fourth year, his eighth year in office, he'd have single-digit approval ratings. And, yeah. I will say one thing that he brought up. He brought up the Veterans Choice Law. And if you haven't heard, this is a law that Trump consistently has said that he passed. And he didn't. Obama passed this. He signed this bill. And it brings up, when we talk about the systemic racism, the racism that's out there, I mean, nothing is more obvious than that than Trump's desire to try to erase the Obama presidency. And when it came to the Veterans Choice Law, he knew he couldn't get rid of it. So they made a minor adjustment to it. And he had a massive signing like he had just written the bill himself and then claimed that he passed the bill. Because it's a bill that Obama passed that he could not get rid of. So he changed it just so then he could try to take credit for it. And that is, we live in racist times, people. And unless you call this crap out now, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. So you got to start calling this out. And you know, I'm tired of racism, President. I'm tired of it. The Minnesota Republican delegation had an interesting night last night. This is a story I came across. They were in Sioux Falls, South Dakota to watch President Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention. Okay, the Republican delegation was in South Dakota. Republican party leaders in North and South Dakota, including South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, have also volunteered to help the GOP candidates in the neighboring North Star State, committing party volunteers and elected officials to come and stump for Minnesota candidates up and down the ballot. Minnesota Republican Party Chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan told reporters on Tuesday, Minnesota Republicans and others this week are set to make a cameo appearances at the Republican National Convention and participate in local events to watch the Republican National Convention. But Carnahan said some of the state's delegates asked not to be named out of fear of retribution. The GOP delegation is set to make the trek to Sioux Falls to join the South Dakota Republicans in celebrating the president's nomination on Thursday evening. So, okay, wait a minute here. The Minnesota Republican Party could not find a local Minnesota business to have their watch party at? That they went and spent their money in South Dakota. That and don't give me this, well, the Governor Walz, no, there's plenty of rural parts of this state where there are Republicans ahoy that have rental halls, nice hotels, banquet facilities, restaurants. You have plenty of opportunities and options in Minnesota from Grand Marais down to Pipestone. You have plenty of places in Minnesota that the Minnesota Republican Party, once again, this is the Minnesota Republican Party, could have had their reception for the president's speech. But no, they decided they were going to give South Dakota their money. Wow. That's not exactly putting Minnesota first, if you ask me. And like I said, it's, dear God, I mean, you could go into some of the outlying suburbs, especially in the North Metro, find a nice conservative area, a few neighborhoods, nice restaurant or convention room. You could easily find that. Why did you guys go and spend your money in South Dakota, Republican Party of Minnesota? I would love to hear this. I would love to hear your excuse on why Minnesota restaurants, Minnesota businesses were not worthy of your money, Minnesota Republican Party. And by the way, if this doesn't tell you how much trouble the Republican Party is in, the fact that they are begging Republicans from North and South Dakota to have to come on over and help them campaign tells you that even in Minnesota rural counties, they are not exactly, you know, popular. Carnahan said Trump's campaign has made contacts with 2 million Minnesota voters so far, taken on months of voter registration efforts, and recruited volunteers to the campaign. Yeah, it's easy when you go to North Dakota and South Dakota. The broad campaign infrastructure, I think there's no question that Minnesota is probably going to top flip opportunity the entire country in terms of the electoral map. No, it's not. Okay, Minnesota comes down to really three areas. The Twin Cities metro, the Twin Cities core metro area, the suburbs, and then the rest of the state. The rest of the state, you're not going to take Duluth. You're not going to take Rochester. A decent chance you're not going to take Moorhead. So then it becomes you have to take pretty much everyone else across that swath and hope that the suburban women that you guys keep trying to snuggle up with who have abandoned the Republican Party in droves, that they're going to turn around. Because I can tell you right, Minneapolis-St. Paul ain't going to go for Trump. So it all comes down to if you can convince the suburbanites to vote Republican. Well, if you haven't seen, this country sucks right now. And no, it's not Biden's America. This is Trump's America. We are living in Trump's America right now. This is Trump's job. This is his country. This is what Republicans get you. This is the Republican Party's fault. Everything that is going on that's bad in this country right now has been caused by the Republican Party. And they are so bad at their job, they've left and gone into South Dakota to have their convention party and not spend money even in their own home state. I've never heard of anything so damn ludicrous in my life. I mean, unless they think Kristi Noem is, that's what it probably is. Now that I think about it, the Republicans are all, Minnesota Republicans are going over there to brown nose Kristi Noem because they think that she's going to be the candidate in 2024. That's why they were all over in South Dakota. Please give me a lesser job within the administration. That's why they were there. Nice way to show support for your local state, jackasses. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. I'll get Chris in a second. I'll also get the Minnesota coronavirus update. Quinn Nystrom, Minnesota 8 DFLer, Democrat of the Day, coming up a little bit later on. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
Better Futures Minnesota's Reuse Warehouse has big news. We have a brand new online store. Check out reusebfm.com. This is a great way to see what we carry in the reuse warehouse. Appliances, building materials, kitchen and bath fixtures, lighting, flooring, lumber, heating and cooling items. Don't miss the beautiful benches and COVID safety shields that are hand-built using reclaimed wood from our deconstruction projects. Check out reusebfm.com. That's reusebfm, as in betterfuturesminnesota.com.
I love the Toyotas I've gotten at Rudy Luther Toyota, but I keep going back because of Luther's top-notch customer service. A great example, the Luther Advantage Card. With every new and used vehicle purchase, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores and $5 off the Works car washes. And I can tell you, it will save you a lot of money over 3 years. The Luther Advantage Card keeps you happy in your Rudy Luther vehicle. Find out more at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about outdoor fires. Sitting around a fire is the oldest, most basic form of human activity.
What's new is in the way fire is burned. We can show you how to burn cleaner with a lot less smoke.
The radiant heat and life from an open fire is unmatched. It kindles our spirits and connects us to the outdoors. And now it's easier to experience and enjoy.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs wood and gas burning fire pits and fireplaces. Let us help you experience an outdoor fire without all the smoke.
Come see the many ways you can enjoy a fire outdoors.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces strives to maintain a healthy environment for their customers and employees. They invite you to visit weekdays 9:30 to 5:30 and Saturdays 9:30 to 4. You'll find an uncrowded and comfortable social space to learn about Woodland Stoves' many indoor and outdoor fireplace products. More at woodlandstoves.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. No, I think the Democratic Party should be demanding an answer from the Republican leadership why you went and watched. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were at an official event in D.C. or with the Democrats, Milwaukee, in regards to this. But I need to understand why they all made the exodus. I mean, my gut feeling is because they went to Brown Nose Kristi Noem because they think she's going to be the Republican nominee coming here in 2024. But you need to explain to the people of Minnesota, and I'll even go with the Minnesota 6th District, go with the Minnesota 7th District, the more Republican of the districts. Ask why weren't any places in those districts good enough for your President Trump viewing party? It's a legit question. 952-946-6205. Chris in Chanhassen's been holding. Welcome on in, Chris.
Yeah, man, I just wanted to say, you mentioned Pipestone. My fiance's parents live in Ballatin, which is like 15 minutes from Marshall. And you got Pipestone, you got Slayton and all that. That's farm community. And those farmers out there can't stand Trump. And also, you're saying they held their convention in South Dakota. Why couldn't they hold it at the MyPillow warehouse? Because Mike Lindell's a big, big Trump supporter.
Oh, indeed. I thought we were going on a bad road. Chris, thank you very much. No, they could have. I think Lindell was in D.C. for it. I think actually Mike Lindell was in D.C. for it. I know this. Okay, so if you look at the state of Minnesota, if you go to the southwestern part of the state, there's a lot of people angry at Trump over there. It's the farmers, from what I've seen, it's the farmers more in the northern part of that western part of the state, northwestern part of the state, and not Moorhead per se, but around Moorhead. And then a lot of farmers that are on the Wisconsin border down on the very southeastern part of the state. But there's a lot of places where Trump is persona non grata in this state right now. Four COVID-19 deaths, 862 infections with the coronavirus that causes the respiratory disease, which were reported on Friday to the Minnesota health officials. The daily numbers brings Minnesota totals in the pandemic to 1,810 deaths, 73,240 known infections. The Department of Health Friday also reported 301 people with COVID-19 were hospitalized, including 137 people who required intensive care due to breathing problems. The four newly reported deaths all involved people 40 and older. Case growth and hospitalizations have leveled off in Minnesota in August after increasing in July, which is good news. Unfortunately, no. The new case count seems to be getting higher and higher and higher. And I want to make sure I keep pointing out here, all right, we now have word that 44 cases of coronavirus are confirmed to have been linked to Sturgis, the Sturgis, South Dakota gathering. According to the Minnesota Department of Health, 44, which my guess is we're actually looking at a much higher number of Minnesotans only Minnesotans who have been infected from Sturgis. I think you're looking at thousands of people nationwide having been infected at Sturgis and sick. And I was talking to a guy today, and the most underreported element of coronavirus is in my opinion is not the fact that we have a lot of people who have recovered. It's the fact that when you look at the numbers of recoveries, it's little less than half of the total people that have had coronavirus. There are people right now in this country who have been sick for 5 months. They have been sick for 5 months. The recovery of this is not quick. There are people who are even recovered but still have long-term health problems. One guy's in a coma. They say that he doesn't have coronavirus anymore, but he's not been able to come out of the coma since they put him on the respirator, the ventilator. This is, when you think about this, there are going to be people in this country past Christmas, towards Valentine's Day, sick still from Sturgis because, God forbid, a conservative state actually do what's best for its own people. And of course, that same conservative state that demanded Sturgis be open is going to look at those sick people and say, you're on your own. You got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's what they're going to say. I should also mention Itasca County, and I pay attention to Itasca County, and the reason why is that, if you don't remember that, we had our own little version of Sturgis here. The Effie Rodeo in Itasca County. And once again, if you've never been to Effie, oh, let me tell you, you don't have to. There's not much there. I have driven Minnesota one across the state. Effie is not much there. But they had their rodeo, and to get back at those liberals, gotcha. Gotcha, liberals. They basically made it, I think it was free to get in, and everyone was there covering it as media. That way they didn't have to wear masks and all this stuff. And needless to say, I've been keeping track. In Itasca County, not a big county. Grand Rapids is there, but it's still not a lot of population in Itasca County. They got 30 cases in the last week. 30. They're the fifth worst county in the state right now. And although I haven't seen any news outlets doing the connect the dots of the Effie freaking rodeo to the coronavirus case count, I think it's a pretty straight line at this point. Especially when you're looking at, once again, Itasca County, not exactly the biggest county, the fifth highest percentage of coronavirus cases, 30 new cases in the last week. Hey, I hope that rodeo was worth it, jackasses. And good luck. Right now, if it's 5 months, that means you're spending Christmas sick. God forbid that happens to you. But hey, I'm the one on the front end that didn't want you to get sick. You're the one that were going to prove me wrong, so good going. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. This is going to get bad up there. You can already tell this is going to get bad. Tell you what, speaking of northern Minnesota, Pence, the large jug of paste, he came to Duluth. And apparently a few hundred people showed up. The vice president of the United States shows up in Duluth. Only a few hundred people showed up. Look, we're going to talk to Quinn Nystrom. She's the DFL candidate for the Minnesota 8th District taking on Stauber. Representative Peter Stauber. Anyway, yeah, she's taking on him. We're going to talk to her coming up in just a moment about the jobs promise, because I think that's exactly what they said 2 years ago. And guess what? They haven't brought back the jobs. As a matter of fact, they're running a negative rate of jobs. Quinn Nystrom, Democrat of the Day, when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
Tune in for Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence.
Coming up, summer reading. It's about time.
Literally. We're coming up on our 500th episode. So this year's summer reading list is all about time.
We'll talk to philosophers, poets, and physicists who've put time at the center of their thought and writing.
Time for summer reading. Next time on Philosophy Talk.
Philosophy Talk. Every Sunday at 8 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. on AM 950.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
a lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Once again, thank you very much to the members who have stepped up and sponsored AM 950 as we have gone through this crisis. Thank you very much to Roger in Bloomington, John in Minnetonka, Deborah in Robbinsdale, Tim and Sharon in Brooklyn Park, Cindy in Andover, Mark in Edina, Stephen in Lexington, Massachusetts. You also have Michael in Bellwater, California, Susan in Pleasant Hill, California, Farmers Branch, Texas, Gordon, also Douglas in St. Paul, Mary in Minneapolis, and Julie in Minneapolis as well. Thank you very much. Now, if you would like to become a member, please stop on by our webpage, am950radio.com. Click on the member page. You can make a one-time donation. You can make a recurring donation. We appreciate them both. Not only do you help keep Progressive Radio on the air in Minneapolis, St. Paul through the 2020 election cycle, but you also get access to special member-only interviews. We got some humdingers this week, so go check that out. And we got a lot of, and you get access to all the ones we've done. So the ones with Tom Hartman, Cliff Schechter, we've got them all, and you can listen to them at your leisure as a member. AM950radio.com. Click on the members tab. And once again, thank you very much for keeping AM950 on the air through the election cycle. Well, Donald Trump and Mike Pence got done lying in Washington, D.C., so Pence decided to come to Duluth and lie here some. Noting the vice president was heading up to defile our fine state in Duluth, it took the time to get in touch with Quinn Nystrom. Quinn is the DFL candidate for the Minnesota 8th District, taking on Representative Pete Stauber. She is kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about the vice president's visit and the lack of follow through on their promise of jobs that they did before. Quinn, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm happy to be on, Matt.
I'm glad you're here too. First of all, I'm just wondering, because it's been a little bit since we chatted with you. How are things going for you up there in the 8th?
You know what? They're going great. I think our campaign has just been continuing to grow momentum. I'll say we're even a little flattered. I think Stauber's running a little scared, and that's why they've had to bring in Ivanka, then Trump himself, and now Pence today. So I'll take it as a form of flattery.
Well, and it should be mentioned that on primary night, I went and looked at the numbers up in 8. You ran unopposed, and you got more votes than Stauber, who's the incumbent, who had a primary. So there was a race on the Republican side, and you actually outdrew both of them in your just by people coming out and voting for you. That's a really good sign for your campaign.
Absolutely. We were thrilled, to see that Stauber and his opponent's votes combined, we still got 5,000 more votes than them. And to me, it shows that, DFLers, independents, they are ready to see real change. And they want to see a people-powered politician and not a corporate-powered politician. I think we've gotten enough in the last 2 years of Stauber serving this district, and we'd like a change.
Absolutely. Now, let's take everyone back in time. Pete Stauber's running. They brought in Trump. They kept saying, we're going to bring back all the mining jobs. We'll bring back all the mining jobs. And that was a big promise because there were a few thousand jobs down in the mining industry up in northern Minnesota. Since then, it's through Trump's trade wars, pandemics, needless to say, not only have they not brought back the jobs, we actually have lost mining jobs. And there's no joy, there's no thrill in this statement. This is just a fact. The promise was made to bring back mining jobs. Not only have they not brought back the mining jobs, there's fewer mining jobs. And the reports are U.S. Steel has shut down 3 of their foundries. They do not plan on reopening them till the end of the year, which means those mine jobs are not going to be coming back anytime soon. Let's talk about this, because this idea that Pence came on in and his big banners behind him said jobs, jobs, jobs. Said, you guys promised this already. You guys have failed.
100%. This is their big promise. Not only have we seen these mines under the Trump administration and under Stauber's leadership shutter, but I think we have to be really honest, right? So, all the headlines coming out of, Pence's visit today says, he pitches jobs, as you said. The truth is, they also had about 250 supporters there who were not wearing masks, who were not socially distanced. And we have to be honest, this economy is not going to come back and thrive again until we can get the coronavirus under control. And the Trump administration has done a terrible job at handling this pandemic. So, no, people are out of work. They've lost their health insurance because it was tied to their employer. We have a real disaster on our hands, and they're not helping the case.
And your point is so on point, and that it is, it's not just, I mean, we've talked about the loss of the mining jobs, but it's, I mean, they're like every other community. Restaurants have closed, other jobs have closed. You get a business that tries to reopen, one person gets sick, they shut down. I mean, this has been going on. So the unemployment is still there. The lack of health care is still there. You are not going to, the total job losses due to the pandemic and Trump's mismanagement of this economy are astounding. And there they are saying, oh, we'll just trust us another time. I don't think we can send Pete Stauber back to Congress because he's failed so spectacularly in just 2 years.
Exactly. I have said that, you know, the 8th Congressional District cannot afford another 2 years of Pete Stauber. You know, he's voted 5 different times not to lower the cost of prescription medication. He has voted against protecting with pre-existing conditions. You know, and the two of them, they're trying to paint themselves as champions of workers. Well, need I remind people, when Stauber had the opportunity to support Minnesota workers, he chose to vote against the PRO Act.
Yeah.
You know, and so I don't care about these photo ops and, you know, words that they want to say from a podium. Their actions show a much different reality.
I will say this, too. And your point about the fact that there was no face masks and no social distancing, they only had 250 people show up in Duluth. That should tell you they're not exactly, their ideas are not exactly going on over very well. Quinn Nystrom, the DFL candidate for the Minnesota 8, I know you don't have a lot of time, but you brought up healthcare. And it was embarrassing to watch Trump last night scream about how he's lowering prescription drug costs, that they're preserving pre-existing conditions, because those are two things they specifically have not done. And here the Republicans are after, we are now 10 years after the Republicans promised they were going to replace Obamacare. They still don't have a plan in place. Costs are going up. Prescription drugs are going up. The cost of them are going up. Pre-existing, they want to make pre-existing conditions a thing again. You know, the healthcare issue, Pete Stauber, once again, is bankrupt on this. This is why he needs these dog and pony shows with Mike Pence coming into town. The reality is he can't run on this because they have not only failed on jobs, they're failing on healthcare.
Exactly. I've said, and I know you and I have talked about it a lot, I would not have run for Congress if Pete Stauber wasn't so incompetent, especially around the issues of health care. People are dying in our state because they cannot afford life-saving medications, yeah, including insulin, including a plethora of other drugs. They can't afford to even pay for the health insurance premium. Now, he hasn't offered up any solutions. He only votes against lowering the cost, but that shouldn't surprise us because he takes money from pharmaceutical and health insurance PACs. We need to elect people to Congress who, you know, like myself, are saying, I'm not taking any corporate PAC money because I actually want to fix this problem. And I'm not going to have my hands tied going to D.C.
I want to bring up one other issue with healthcare, and that is, I've been keeping track of Itasca County, where the Effie Rodeo happened. And today they are 30 cases of coronavirus in Itasca County in the last 7 days alone. We're seeing it's just like Sturgis. You're going to see an explosion because people were not being safe. You're living in, you know, some of your district is very rural, and the healthcare system in rural America has been annihilated over the last 30 years of conservative policies. Talk about the problems that the constituents are seeing up there and any ideas that you have to address the fact that we need a better, more expansive healthcare system that can address the rural parts of this country, this state and this country, better than we are right now, because right now we're woefully inadequate when it comes to things like a pandemic.
Completely, Matt. You know, we just found out this last month that the only pharmacy in Cook County that they currently have is going to be shuttering its doors at the end of this month. That means people in Cook County are going to have to drive nearly 100 miles round trip to get to the closest pharmacy. When people are relying on life-saving medications, or if they fall ill and they need a medication right away, you know, especially in the dead of winter, we know how dangerous that's going to be for people to drive that far. Now, what we need to do is, on a federal level, we need to assist, you know, with rural healthcare systems, with rural pharmacies, with encouraging doctors and healthcare professionals to take those jobs. We need to be investing in that, not taking money away from that. And also, as we know, mental health services, are not as common to be offered in these rural areas. And we know that we have, a huge mental health problem in our country and people getting access to care. So, we need somebody who understands healthcare very, very well. You know, and as a fourth generation, of the 8th District, having worked in healthcare myself and dedicating really my whole life to public service and fighting for affordable and accessible healthcare, we need a change in leadership in the 8th.
And we should mention that Cook County, this is the very northeastern part of the state, the tip, Grand Marais, that goes up, runs on the Canadian border there, has Lake Superior on the south side. If they're not going to have a pharmacy in that county. And can you depend on the mail service nowadays? I don't think you can. So, you can't have a functioning society when medicine is so, poorly distributed, healthcare is so poorly distributed, and then you have major crises on top of it. This is a nightmare, and this is all the Republicans. It's Trump, it's Pence, it's Stauber. This is they want more of this. They want 4 more years of this, and we can't afford that.
No, we can't afford it. I have said, this election is about life and death. Stauber's on social media bragging about campaigning in crowded rooms surrounded by people who aren't wearing masks. Why isn't he doing the bare minimum to ensure that our schools and our small businesses can reopen safely? It's a complete neglect of the over 180,000 lives that have been lost because of this pandemic. And the Trump administration has been a complete failure in regards to this.
I want everyone to donate, volunteer. This is the point, Quinn, where I always say, help your local DFLer, by all means, help those local races. But we need to flip the 8th. We need Quinn Nystrom in the Capitol. We absolutely have to have her there. Pete Stauber has been an unbelievable failure. We can help Quinn. She needs donations. She needs volunteers. It's Quinn for Congress, right?
Yes. Yep. F-O-R.
Quinn for the F-O-R, Congress.com. Q-U-I-N-N-F-O-R, Congress.com. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. Donate, please. Volunteer if you can. Help Quinn Nystrom take the Minnesota 8th back for sanity's sake, for goodness sake. Quinn, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much. It's such nice to talk to you. I'm so glad you're running up there. I so want you in the U.S. House. It would be great if you win this.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for all your support and appreciate you taking the time to talk about this important issue.
No problem. Quinn Nystrom, kind enough to join us. Let's take a break. We'll get our final break in right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Quinn Nystrom, Minnesota 8 Democrat of the Day. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Crooners Supper Club is leading the Twin Cities back to live performances this summer with 2 new distance-safe outdoor dinner show options. The popular Lakeside Drive-In concerts will continue with new shows added throughout the summer. And not to be outdone, Crooners is also introducing a new Lakeside Cafe in its outdoor patio space designed to offer a more intimate, distance-safe outdoor dinner show experience. So head to Crooners Supper Club off Moore Lake and Highway 65 this summer for some delicious food and great music. Make your reservations now at croonersmn.com.
Hi, this is Chad from AM 950. With the recent round of storms that came through the Twin Cities, some of you may have sustained damage to your roofing, siding, or windows. Call Snap Construction, the company we trust, to see if you sustained damage. Snap Construction is arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window company in the metro. Ryan, how are you able to help people that may have had damage from these storms?
Well, Chad, with experience, we've helped thousands of Minnesotans with their storm damage claims. If you suspect your home has damage or was denied in the past, give us a call for your free inspection. It can take up to a year for hail and wind damage to reveal itself. The insurance process can be complicated. We make it easy. We use the same costing software that all insurance companies rely on. As always, we stand behind our work with a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee. Don't wait. Call us for your free estimate or inspection today. 612-333-SNAP. 612-333-3333. Snap.
Hi, I'm Alicia Luther-Toms, certified financial planner with RBC Wealth Management. You might think you have to give up performance to invest responsibly, but that simply isn't true. Responsible investing can actually have a positive impact on performance. We will work with you to come up with a strategy that matches your values. This is Alicia Luther-Toms at 612-770-4460 or alicia.luther.toms@rbc.com.
RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. I wanted to take a. We've had a lot of people talking about Kanye West, who is going to. I don't know if he's going to appear on the ballot. More evidence. This is Minnesota Reformer. By the way, if you're not following the Minnesota Reformer, follow the Minnesota Reformer. Another story from them. More evidence emerged this week that Republicans were in the effort to get rapper Kanye West on the ballot in Minnesota, the upcoming presidential election. Andrew Post of Minnetonka, who has worked for Republicans, is listed as an elector for West, meaning he would represent the hip-hop star and fashion mogul in the Electoral College should West win Minnesota. When contacted by phone, Post said he was absolutely aware he was an elector, quotes, and he can't wait to see West on the ballot. West's wife has been public about the star's recent struggle with bipolar disorder. Asked how he became an elector, Post said, that's my business, not yours. I'm presuming that's what he sounds like, a lovely singer. That's my business, not yours. All right, there's something to that effect. Anyway, that's what he said. That's my business, not yours. I'm only just taking a guess at what the guy sounds like. Supporters of West, or at least those who want him on the presidential ballot, submitted enough valid signatures this week to get him on the ballot in November. As far as electors consenting, the short answer is that we do not check that, nor do we require any kind of consent. So the Reformer attempted to do some spot checking on the electors. The left messages for almost all 20 of them on Tuesday and Wednesday after the signatures were submitted to the state. We reached six of them, and of those, four were aware they were electors for Kanye West, but two were not. Kim Rendell of Wyoming in Chisago County is listed as an alternate elector, but was completely unaware. Another person listed as an elector, Heidi Rendell of Wyoming, was not able to be reached. Kim Rendell hung up before we could ask if they're related. Samuel Kapal of Hamill is also listed as an elector. He and his wife, Lindsay Kapal, is listed as an alternate elector. When reached by phone Tuesday, Lindsay Kapal didn't know anything about it. Electors must sign a form stating they agree to be one. So what if people are listed as electors without their knowledge? Under state law 204B.44, if someone wants to challenge that, they have to go to court. Republicans have reportedly been involved in an effort to get West on the ballot in some battleground states, likely to, in hopes of siphoning off young, black, and hip-hop aficionado votes from Democrat Joe Biden. Near the recent Trump campaign in Mankato, a former reporter was approached by two young men gathering signatures to get West on the ballot. Jennifer Krantzer of Chestnut Cambron Law Firm has been in contact with the Secretary of State's office with procedural questions about minor party independent petition requirements to get on the ballot. Krantzer, C-R-A-N-C-E-R's, Krantzer's husband, Kit Krantzer, was a GOP aide in the Missouri State Senate and is currently a lobbyist, according to his LinkedIn profile. DFL party chairman Ken Martin said the party is reviewing all available options. Well, if you can sue these people and then you have to get them in court, my guess is going to be you're going to just wait to the point where that if the electors are found to be fraudulent, then they can't put Kanye West has to come off the ballot. Well, there you go. And done. Gary is in Minneapolis. Gary, welcome on and thanks for holding.
Hi, Matt. Good to tune you in again today. I want to tell you something I learned from Hartman. You know, the General Motors execs, they were crying about maybe 10 years ago, maybe somewhere in there or longer. They were crying about the high cost of health care is driving them out of competition with other countries to make cars because it costs so much for the health care. They have to mark the prices up on the cars. And I'm like, why the heck don't they advocate for single-payer or Medicare? And Hartman says they got their mitts making profits in the health insurance and other industries. And I heard that about the bankers, too. They own stuff in all kinds of corporations. And that's about what I have to say, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You bet, Gary. Thank you. there's a lot there. I will say this. I was in Germany. Germany's got some car companies. I don't know if you're aware of them. A few of them have been mildly successful. Those people, first of all, they work 32 hours a week. they at least used to be able to drink during their lunchtime. I know they would have beers. They had top-notch health care, and they're far happier as a society than we are in the United States. And the last I checked, German car companies make money. So, it's about, you know, trust me, right now, we had Sturgis. We knew Sturgis was a bad idea, but I gotta sell, got beers and Jack I gotta sell, so I gotta make money, so I don't care how many people get sick. That's the difference. In most other countries, people are saying, oh, how do we make sure people stay healthy? In this country, it's like, I don't care about them. I want my money. Bling, bling. 952-946-6205. I will say one last thing here, one final story. Several of Minnesota's largest school districts pushing back against the start of the academic year, saying they need more time to sort out teaching assignments, finalize plans for remote instruction, and monitor the spread of COVID-19 in their communities. For the first time in recent many years, a sizable number of the state's students won't be back in school on the Tuesday after Labor Day or at all that week. Actually, our kids' school starts next Monday. I think the reality is this is a bunch of screaming lunatics saying, open the schools, is not a plan. That is just a bunch of people making a political statement, which is a stupid political statement. But unfortunately, this is the way it is. I've heard from some that at some private schools, they've basically said, you'd better show up or else you're fired. I don't care if you're going to die. That sort of mentality. That's at least how it was conveyed to me. Needless to say, this is not going to be an easy solution no matter what you do. Hard to top Louis Armstrong yesterday, but Stevie Wonder always is a good one for me. Living for the city. I love my city. Minneapolis, I love you. St. Paul, I love you too. Don't you dare challenge my city. A boy's born. Have a good weekend. We are back on a Monday. Till then, see ya. Surrounded by for what that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong. Moving in the right direction. Living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city. Patience long, but soon.